welcome to a special mini episode of The Offline Gamer. This is our Kickstarter Awards for 2017. I'm Ray.
And I'm Matt.
And what are our Kickstarter Awards for everybody who hasn't listened to one of the previous ones?
Yeah, so we're doing this one a bit late, obviously, because we normally would have done this in January. But for reasons we weren't around. If you want to know more, listen to our last full episode, episode 28. But basically what we'll do is we'll talk about our favourite Kickstarter arrivals from last year. It's not necessarily projects that we backed in 2017. It's games that arrived in 2017. So there may be some things that we backed earlier than that as well. And we'll also have a bit of a chat about some of the Kickstarters that haven't quite gone as planned as well. So we'll cover the bad stuff first, I think, and then we'll go into the good things, the awards. So you know, if all you're interested in is the good stuff, then you can skip towards the end of the show. But I hope you'll listen to everything, because I'm sure we've got lots of interesting things to say.
As always.
Yeah. First things first, let's talk about what was supposed to arrive in 2017 or early 2018 that hasn't actually arrived yet, for one reason or another. So, Ray, why don't you start?
Thank you very much. I've got five things that were supposed to arrive last year but haven't, three of which are all digital games. So the first one of mine that's late is Pray for the Gods by No Matter Studios. This was due, or well, originally in the Kickstarter they predicted it would be available for December 2017. This was back in August 2016 when it funded, and it was, well, I only backed for just a regular digital copy through Steam. So in Pray for the Gods, you are a lone hero sent to the edge of a dying world to discover a mystery behind the never-ending winter. And you arrive with nothing but the clothes on your back, and there's lots of colossal monsters that you have to be able to fight. So the gameplay behind it is a combination of Shadow of the Colossus, as you might imagine, being a small person trying to fight gigantic, huge beasties. There's some Deus Ex, DayZ, and Bloodborne ideas in there as well. So you're wandering around a frozen world, and there's lots of massive, huge bosses for you to fight. And it was aiming to be a multi-platform thing, so it was aiming to be Steam, PS4, and Xbox One. And yes, it's late. It's quite late. Well, it's 5 months late, and if they only sent out the alphas 2 months ago, I mean, that is a step in the right direction, but I expect there'll be at least another good, I don't know, 4 or 5 months before I get my hands on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame, but I only backed for $15. So I think it will still be well worth it. I mean, it attracted nearly 13,000 backers in the original, so I expect it will still be hotly anticipated, even though it is a bit late.
Yeah. So my first game I'm still waiting on is also a digital game, and this is The Pedestrian. Now, this is the game where you play the little guy in all of those street signs, and it's a puzzle game where you have to navigate through and move things around and things like that. So the original ETA on the campaign for this was June 2017. We're now almost at June 2018, and it's obviously not here. They are good at providing updates, though. Every month they're doing like a developer's blog showing you what they've been working on since the last update. So they've redesigned parts of the game, new 3D models, new animations, all sorts of things like that. So yeah, they've been really good at letting everyone know what's going on. There is a demo available, but that demo was made available, I think, before the campaign actually started. So I backed this in February last year, and the demo was made available on their website in January last year. So yeah, so there haven't been any changes to that since. Their website now does say actually the game is set to release in 2018, so hopefully it shouldn't be too long. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those ones where I'm not too disappointed in the delay, because they're providing regular updates to let you know where they're going and what's gone wrong and what they're changing. So yeah, it's fine, and it wasn't expensive like yours. You know, it was only, I think, about £15 to pledge, or $15 to pledge for a digital copy of the game on Steam. So yeah, that'll come when it comes, and yeah, hopefully before the end of the year.
So my next one is Femida, which I have mentioned a few times. As at one point, I volunteered to help do some voice acting for it. And
I was going to ask you what happened with that.
Yes, it's still being developed. There's been a little bit more movement in the last month or two, but it was originally estimated for 2017 in December, and this is from funding in August 2016. It's another digital game. So yeah, these guys have been a bit better with their updates. There's 30 updates. The latest one says that everybody's going to get an extra reward for free.
Oh, that's nice.
They're currently in pre-alpha. The pre-alpha is available to download and test, but I'm always a bit cagey about downloading alphas and pre-alphas because the same thing may happen that happened with me and Prison Break, which is that it ruined the game playing the alpha because it was just so broken. I was just sick of it. But yeah, I mean, these guys, this was a fairly small Kickstarter. It only raised like £2,200. So, I mean, they're still going and they're still developing it. But I think it's sort of, it's a very skeleton crew sort of project now. But yeah, Femida was going to be the game where you play the role of a judge. And it's a story-driven, decision-based detective game where you decide the judgment of people based on the cases and the evidence brought before you. But yeah, I'm still waiting for that one.
So my second game that I'm still waiting on is a game called Yukon Salon, which is the game where you have to make hairstyles for bears and beards for lumberjacks. And you can obviously put the cards on either to have some really funky looking bears or some really rather charming lumberjacks. Up until a few days ago, I had basically written this game off. The original delivery date was August 2017. The project was funded back in February. And, you know, it's just a simple card game. There's no majorly difficult or complex components in there. So, you know, we thought, okay, they can't be that far behind. But the creator gave a few updates. And then in August last year, he gave an update, and then since then, it's been completely radio silence from him. The Kickstarter page was full of comments from people saying, you know, we haven't heard anything, we demand a refund, all that kind of thing. You know, I was quite diplomatic about the whole thing. Sometimes Kickstarter projects fail. This would have been actually the first one that I would never have gotten anything from that funded. But yeah, I mean, it was not an expensive pledge, you know, so I was just prepared to bite the bullet and accept it. But then 2 days ago, he put out an update saying, the game is almost ready. Hey everyone, sorry for the long silence. It's still happening. I should have everything to the printer by the end of the month, and then I'll know when it's going to ship. He hasn't said why there's been such a delay. At least it appears that I am actually going to get the game. So it looks like my record of, as I fulfilled Kickstarters, is going to remain intact for the time being.
Jolly good. Okay, so my next one is Ghost Theory, which was another digital game. This was funded back in May 2016 and was originally estimated delivery for September 2017. The long story short is it's on hold. Development is entirely on hold for it.
Okay.
Because they had quite a lot of problems. They did their Kickstarter with the idea that they were going to have a later injection of cash from the sales of another game that was going to be going out to consoles. That didn't happen. That went quite badly for them. They've ditched said publisher that took it to console. And they dropped, I believe, 19 developers from Ghost Theory all the way down to 6, and some of them were working for a good few months without being paid. And so I think they just made the decision that it needs to go on hold until they can get more money for it, basically.
See, that sounds to me like they didn't properly account for how much money they should be raising in the Kickstarter then. Because obviously if they were relying on an external source for the rest of the funding, that seems like a bit of a mistake.
They may have overestimated how much they were going to get from their previous game, which was called Dex, going out onto consoles. I mean, I thought it was a little bit ambitious, considering small little indie games going out onto consoles. Normally, you're going to get trashed on the price, so you're going to have to sell it for something really not a lot. So the game itself was supposed to be a serious take on paranormal research. So it was sort of like a detective kind of thing, but with the paranormal side. So you'd get lots of ghost hunting gadgets and you'd go and investigate real haunted locations. And you'd have different missions. And you go back to the university where your results get assessed and you'll be briefed for your next mission sort of thing. It was a horror game, but it wasn't. They weren't going to do it in the sort of jump scary kind of way. You have to summon the ghosts to get them to come out. They've said it's on hold as opposed to officially cancelled, so I guess maybe it will arrive one day. Who knows?
There's still hope there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a bit. I think maybe if they... Because originally it says they wanted to do it for Windows, Mac, Linux, PS4 and Xbox One. I think maybe if they sort of leave out PS4 and Xbox One, focus on like the tabletop stuff, like desktop machinery.
Yeah.
But then I don't know how many people backed who specifically wanted PS4 and Xbox One, so never mind. We can hope. They're currently working on an expansion for one of their other previous games, so maybe that will do well and then that will get some cash flow coming in for this project.
Okay, my next one is a game that I was due to receive in January this year, and that is Brass, the Birmingham edition. This is obviously the Martin Wallace game that Pete was quite astounded that I backed at the time because he thought it was a bit out of my normal comfort zone. But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to this. Now, they're obviously not massively late, just, four months or so.
Yeah.
But again, they've been really good at providing updates to explain why. They had a few manufacturing issues. Some of the components have had to be reprinted. But in every update, they're putting estimated time scales and things like that down. So at the moment, where they stand is they've done pretty much everything except final assembly of all the completed components into the boxes. That's apparently due to be completed by the end of this month, and then the game will start shipping after that. So I should receive the game within the next, 6 to 8 weeks, I'd imagine. So that's well on the way, and it's not too bad at all.
And it was quite a large project.
Oh, yeah. And,
Because they brought out two versions in that Kickstarter, didn't they? There was Brass Birmingham and a reprint of the original Brass,
the Lancashire one, yeah.
Yeah.
And, they raised $1.7 million Canadian, so...
Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, I'm not too disappointed in that one. Yeah, they've put on their website, fulfillment, estimated completion, July 2018. So, yeah, next couple of months, hopefully.
Super duper. So the next one that I've got that's a bit late is a reissue of a game called Deep Space D6, along with a mini expansion. Now, this one was originally supposed to arrive in December 2017. It hasn't arrived yet. However, the chap who seems to be doing it completely on his own, has been relatively good with the updates. I mean, there's 14 in totals, and I mean, there's over 2,000 comments on the on the Kickstarter page.
All right, okay.
Which some of the other three that I've mentioned so far that have nowhere near that many comments, and some of them are way later than this. Back in December, he did a really long update post saying what happened, or why he'll never look at reprints the same again. Basically, the thing in December that he said was apologising and then explaining all the different problems that he's had, some of which were scaling up. So his original Kickstarter for the original game only had about 2,000, 3,000 backers, and now he's gone over 10,000. So that has increased the amount of work that he has to do in terms of emailing individuals, answering inquiries, doing wholesale orders, press inquiries, and so on and so on. Because he, as I say, I think he's doing it all on his own. Manufacturing challenges. He has had quite a few manufacturing challenges. I mean, the original files from the first print run of the game, Deep Space D6, only 15% were compatible to do reprinting again.
Wow, okay.
Because the manufacturers, apparently, they constantly retool their machines to improve the printing technique, which means the old files all had to be re-edited and redone so that they worked with the new machinery. Also, he admits to burning out, which, I mean, given you know, doing all that on your own, I suspect burnout was almost inevitable, yeah. Really. And that's completely understandable as far as I'm concerned. And it was only funded in June 2017, so trying to get it out for December 2017, maybe he was a little bit too ambitious, didn't realise quite how popular his original game had sort of become, that now over 10,000 people wanted it. And he raised over $250,000 just on Kickstarter. And I think he's had at least another 1,000 people post-Kickstarter doing pre-orders. So it's late. But I think it's understandably late. So I think 5 days ago was the latest update. And the digital sample, he's got the digital sample back. So that sounds like good progress to me.
Yeah.
So he's got all his digital bits and pieces, and there's lots of nice pictures and stuff. And in the latest update, he has reminded people that if they do need to update their address, then to do so via BackerKit, which usually is a good indication. So yeah, that's Deep Space D6, which is a solitaire game. So that's why I backed it originally, because it had really high ratings for being a solitaire game, and I imagine that's how he ended up with over 10,000 people interested in it, when the original only had about 2-3. So it's late, but he's still doing updates, it's still going, things are still moving. Mm. So good things ahead.
So you mentioned ambitious timescales for that one. That brings us nicely onto my last one that has been delayed, which is a game that funded in August last year and was due for delivery again in December, which I did think was very optimistic. But that is A Dog's Life, the game where you play dogs, and there's nice little miniatures of different breeds of dog in there. They have admitted it was their mistake that they thought the game was going to be here for Christmas, and they made a few decisions that didn't pan out correctly. And so now they've had to deal with, obviously, Christmas and New Year, but also Chinese New Year. So it looks like it's going to be another few weeks before we get the game. But they have been providing updates. A few people on the Kickstarter page have not really liked some of the updates they've been giving out, because sometimes they'll go like, "Bark, we're keeping in touch with you. Woof, we've got some news for you." And they're going, "Stop being so childish and let us know exactly what's going on with the game." It's like, they're giving us updates, just, you know, we should be grateful for the information they're giving us. So,
Chill out.
Yeah. So they said delivery in the second quarter, which we're in now, obviously. So, again, hopefully within the next couple of months, I should have some news about that. So, yeah, that was A Dog's Life.
So the next one of mine that's late is Hand of Fate Ordeals, which is the board game of inspired, well, taken from Hand of Fate, the computer game. Now, this one I think had fairly ambitious timescales as well, because it was funded in June last year. Yeah, it was funded in June 2017, and they had estimated delivery for November 2017, which I did realise was quite ambitious. Also, there's no way it would have got to me in November 2017, even if it was on time, because it's got to come all the way from Australia.
Ah.
Well, it probably comes from China, but whenever it's I find whenever it's a Kickstarter where the creators are Australia, New Zealand, America, Canada, even though all the games are coming from the Chinese manufacturers, Europe gets everything last.
Yeah.
For some reason. I'm not sure why.
What's going to happen when, after Brexit, are we going to be even further behind?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Because it'll probably cost more for people to send in to us.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, this one is late, as I say. There's been 67 updates. There's an update every week. And I'll be honest, I haven't read all of them. Because, oh my god, there's so many. They're currently on digital proof reviews, so similar sort of state to the Deep Space D6. They're getting there. They're almost ready for like proper printing and stuff. I think the only thing that annoyed me about this one was the chap who created it on Kickstarter has since run another Kickstarter, and although he's done quite a lot that have done very well, it did sort of just annoy me a little bit.
Yeah,
so since Hand of Fate Ordeals, he launched another one, which was actually the T2029 Terminator 2 board game that got cancelled last year.
Ah, yes. Didn't you back that?
Yes, but it got cancelled. Mm. So that sort of slightly annoyed me, but also slightly worried me, because that one getting cancelled, I didn't know whether that was sort of, is this dude trying to do way too much all at once? Because Hand of Fate is a pretty big game. The Terminator 2 Judgment Day game also was pretty large. So it did worry me a little bit, but they seem to be on the right track with Hand of Fate, so here's hoping. Now, my last one, I suspect I probably mentioned this in the 2016 awards. It's not arrived yet. Because it was estimated for delivery in December 2016.
Wow.
And still haven't got it. This one's a bit of a complicated one.
Okay.
Because it ended up going to the Steam greenlighting process.
Oh, yeah.
It's now being greenlit. Yay. But all that suggested to me is that there was nothing really. I mean, they released a beta. But again, as I said before, I don't really like playing alphas and betas, because if it's got loads and loads of bugs in it, I don't want to play it and ruin the experience, because I'm just going to be sat there getting really frustrated about it. So it went to beta in December 2017, not 2016. And they are planning to officially release this year, in 2018, and it is going to be their main event of the year. This one has obviously taken a lot longer than they were expecting it to take. They are aiming to release the full game in May. However, I haven't seen anything yet.
May is in the month we're in now?
Yes, May is in the month we are in now. So they're okay. Aiming to full release this month. And hopefully they will. If not, maybe June. So it's almost there. but it, very late, over a year and a half late. That was another digital game. So it seems that the digital games, more so than the physical tabletop games, seem to be quite difficult to gauge how long it's going to take them. But yeah, those are my ones that have not arrived yet.
So that's enough of the negatives. Let's move on to the positives and bring you our Kickstarter Awards 2017. So we've each got top three and a couple of honourable mentions. So let's start with our number threes. So I'll go first, shall I?
Yep.
So my number three is a game I actually talked about in the last episode, and that's the Escape Room in a Box, The Werewolf Experiment. Now, I really like this. I think the campaign was well executed. The creators kept everyone up to date. The game is obviously doing well because it's been picked up by Mattel, I think, for a retail release. And it's enjoyable. You'd think it was just a single-use thing, but it's not. They give you the components so that you can reprint things out and play the game more than once. Obviously, I know what happens, so I take on the role of like a game master. And the components are extremely good quality. There's locks, you know, things that react with water. All sorts of cool things in the box. Don't want to obviously give too many spoilers away in case anyone ever plays it, but I definitely recommend it. And that's Escape Room in a Box, which is by Stay at Home Werewolves, apparently, but also BGG now credits it as being published by Mattel as well. So I don't know if the Mattel version, the box is certainly different. I'm not sure what differences there are in the components, but from what I gather, it's more or less identical. So, if you obviously you won't be able to get the Kickstarter version anymore, but if you have to buy the retail version, I'm confident it will be just as good.
Super duper. My number three is Tiny Epic Quest. Now, everybody is probably quite familiar with the Tiny Epic series. Tiny Epic Quest is the one where they first introduced the item meeples, which were quite fun, even though I think I got one item when we played it, and somebody got all the items in the world.
Who was that?
Gareth.
Yes.
It's okay, he's not here today, so we can slag him off. So yes, Tiny Epic Quest was by Gamelin Games. They've now done at least another two or three Tiny Epics, including Tiny Epic Zombies, which Matt mentioned in the last, our last full episode. And I found Tiny Epic Quest to be quite fun and very enjoyable, even though it's so small. And there's so much in the box, despite being a tiny box. And yeah, it's a good, fairly light, easy to pick up game, and I thought that was very, very enjoyable, and it arrived last year, so that makes my number three spot for the 2017 awards.
Okay, my number two is a game by Ferrer's Games, and that is Fugitive, the asymmetrical two-player game where one of you is a fugitive and the other is a marshal trying to catch them. The rules are simple, but the game works really well. We've played it a couple of times, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I love the art on the cards. I like that whole like 60s type of style. And you know, they give you all the components you need to play the game. I mean, you have to, the person who's playing the marshal has to like write numbers down so they can try and work out where the fugitive is. But you get a nice little piece of cardboard with a dry white marker, a little dry white marker that you can cross numbers off and things like that. It's only a small game and it's only for two players, but I really, really like it. I could play it forever, probably, and never get bored with it. So yeah, quite simply, that's my number two, Fugitive from Ferrer's Games.
Okay, my number two is Saltlands and the expansion that came with it, which was called Lost in the Desert. Saltlands was a little bit late. It was originally billed to come in late 2016 and it arrived in 2017. But even so, it is absolutely beautiful. The art's wonderful. It's a very dystopian Mad Max sort of feel to the game. And it came out of Hungary by Antler Games. I mean, the quality and the high standard of what I got in the end, even though it was a bit late, was amazing. You get a small sort of graphic novel with it as well. And I backed to get the expansion. So, as I say, quite a lot of content there. Very high quality, lovely artwork. Bit late, but I think it made up for it by being awesome.
Yeah.
So that's my number two.
So before we talk about our number one picks of last year, we've both got a couple of honourable mentions to talk about. So my two are 10 Minute Heist. So this is a small card game where there is a grid of like artifacts, magical or historical artifacts laid out on the table. And it's laid out like a tower. So everyone starts at the top and then you have to work your way down. But you can only go in one direction, so horizontally or vertically down the board. So you can try and block people off as they pick things up. But everyone's got to try and get to the bottom and get out with as much loot as they can, basically. And I've played this a couple of times with some groups who aren't really that into games. And it's got a very low complexity. I mean, the weight on BGG is only 1.25 out of 5. So it's very easy to pick up. But doesn't take long to explain the rules. Plays in about 10 or 15 minutes. And yeah, I think it's a good, fun little game. And definitely one I'd recommend. That's by Daily Magic Games. And yeah, it's 10 Minute Heist. Actually, the full name, 10 Minute Heist, The Wizard's Tower. So that's one of my honourable mentions. And the other one is one of the games I talked about last month, which is Master Thief by Spar Games, which is the game where you're all playing thieves trying to steal things from a museum. And I really like that. It came with, as I say, not only the cards, but also the big player boards as well for you to store all the things that you steal, which I wasn't expecting. So that was a nice surprise when that turned up. And as I say, the campaign was fought with a few delays because they had a printing problem. I think I talked about it in the past where when they printed some of the cards out, the black on them was slightly different because they had to put some kind of UV coating on them. So you could tell which were the good cards and which were the bad cards, so they had to get them reprinted. But they kept everyone up to date with what was going on there. And yeah, when it came, it went down really well at Christmas when I played it with my family. So yeah, that's my other honourable mention. That's Master Thief.
Super duper. My honourable mentions. Technically, my first one is a bit of an unhonourable mention.
Oh, okay.
Because it's Subterra. Unhonourable because it took for absolutely ever to get it.
Yeah.
And it was being sold at UKGE last year before I got it, and I backed it on Kickstarter, which was a bit of a kick in the teeth for quite a few people who backed it. It did arrive eventually, and it is a very good game, and it's very high quality, and, you know, I can't fault them on that. The only thing that I would say was they possibly messed up that Kickstarter, because now I sort of, even if they bring something else out, and they have done another Kickstarter since then, and I've seen it, and I've thought, nah. After that, sort of horror show, not really a horror, yeah, I mean, after the various mess-ups of that Subterra Kickstarter campaign and fulfillment, etc., I think I might avoid those guys on Kickstarter, at least for a while, because
it was ITB, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And they seem to do really cool stuff at UKG, like this year. They've got a full body scanner where you can make a mini out of yourself on their 3D printer.
Ooh.
Which sounds amazingly cool. Definitely not going to do it. I do not want a miniature of myself. That would just be creepy. But they talk a good talk. but it was just slightly disappointing with the fulfillment aspect of Subterra. But it did arrive, and it is a good game. So, unhonorable mention. Honorable mention, I'm being a little bit cheeky here, Petrichor, which didn't arrive in 2017, but it was supposed to. It arrived in sort of January this year.
I'll allow it then.
Okay. So it was a little bit late, but I think that was because we're in the UK and everything gets to us last, pretty much. But it did arrive, and it is absolutely, you know, everything I was hoping for. And that's the game where you are clouds trying to grow flowers and crops and stuff by strategically raining on them.
Yeah, it's a really cool theme, isn't it?
Yeah. And I did think that their original estimation of getting out for December was kind of a bit, you know, squeaky butt time. But it was only a month late, so they still did really well, I think, considering how big the game is and how many different pieces needed to be made for it. So, those are my two un/honourable mentions.
Okay, let's talk about our number ones then. So, my number one Kickstarter for 2017 should come as no surprise to anyone who's played this with me. It's Fire of Eidolon. Now, this is the cooperative dungeon crawling game that has some elements of like Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert in it. And there's nothing I don't like about this game. I think it's straightforward to explain. It's fun to play. The components are top-notch. I love the 16-bit era artwork. Not only the game itself, but also the box is styled to look like a Super Nintendo game box, yeah, which I think is pretty cool. Everyone I've played this with likes it. In fact, Vince at Asgard Games liked this so much, he actually contacted them and got a couple of copies in to sell in the store as well. So, yeah, it's been a big success with everyone I've played it with. And, as I say, the tiles are nice and thick. The little character, what they're called, models. They're not models, they're like little cardboard ones that you put in the little plastic standees. But,
yeah.
They're cool and nice, and the different classes you can play, and the game's got varying difficulty levels. So first couple of times you play it, you can play it on easy, and then you can make the game more difficult by drawing more cards. Because it's similar in Forbidden Island, where there's a deck. Then when you reveal a card, if that tile is on the table, then you put what's called a cultist on there, and your characters have to destroy that cultist. Because if you draw the card again, when the deck gets recycled, and a second cultist goes on there, then that tile gets removed from the game. And if you ever get to the situation where, because of that, you can't reach one of the objectives, or you can't get back to the start once you've collected all the objectives, then that's it, the game's over. I can imagine when you're playing with the more difficult difficulty levels, where you're turning over like three or four cards a turn instead of one or two, that would probably get really, really, really tricky. So, yeah, I love it. I think it's great. So that's Fire of Eidolon by Magic Meeple Games, my top game of 2017 from Kickstarter.
Okay, and my number one for 2017 is Martians, A Story of Civilization, which is by Red Imp Games, who are based out of Poland. Now, this one, it did get some interesting feedback when it first came out, because a lot of people were complaining that the rules were too difficult to follow, but shortly thereafter lots of, you know, re-edits came up on BGG and people sort of clarifying and answering questions and all that sort of thing. And I think some of it may just have been, you know, lost in translation. Because if you're coming out of Polish into, they translated it into four other languages, something is bound to get, you know, lost in translation at some point. Now, this one, again, I think it was a teensy, it was like 1 or 2 months late. It was due in February, and I think I got it sort of early spring sort of time. It was relatively well priced, which I thought was good considering the size of it. It came originally in the box with, I think, 13 different missions, and then you have 4 different ways to play each of those missions. So there's a cooperative way of doing it, and then I believe there's a solo variant and 2 different ways of playing it competitively. So you get a lot of replayability out of it. The art and all the components were lovely, and I just thought it was a really good, because it came out at a time when there were a couple of other Mars themed games, and I don't think this one got as much recognition as it probably should have done, because there was another one called Mission to Mars or something.
And Terraforming Mars came out last year as well, and that was the big one that everyone was talking
about. Yes, Terraforming Mars is the one, that's the one everybody was talking about. But yeah, I think this one, I haven't played Terraforming Mars, but I still think that Martians, I think it deserves a bit more love than it got. So Martians is going to be my number one for 2017.
So there we go. Those are our awards for 2017. Hopefully you won't have to wait quite so long for our 2018 awards. They will be in, I guess, January next year, all being well. So that brings us to the end of the episode. So I guess it's time for our usual closing. So everyone knows they can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at TogCast.
You can also find us on Facebook. You can either search for The Offline Gamer, or if you just go to facebook.com/TogCast, you can go straight to us there.
You can listen to all of our episodes on SoundCloud. We are soundcloud.com/offlinegamer. Or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search for The Offline Gamer.
You can get in touch with us directly if you don't fancy the social media. On our email address, which is offlinegamerpodcast@gmail.com, or we've got a contact form on our website,
which is www.offlinegamer.co.uk, where you can find everything that we've just talked about. So yeah, that's it for another episode. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you hopefully before UKGE for a quick preview of what we're looking forward to seeing there. So yeah, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
And he has said now, whoop whoop.
Insert fanfare here. I will find a generic fanfare noise and put that in. Yeah, that'll do. I'll keep that in then.
In the game, you play a lone hero sent to the edge of a dying world to discover a mystery behind the never-ending winter. Shall I do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.